We're teaching again on the life of Christ. Hallelujah. I like teaching in these areas of looking because, I mean, if I would go back over to the hundreds and hundreds and maybe thousands of times that I have gone back through the scriptures and Jesus is administering healing to people, that I have gone over these scriptures and look at them, and, you know, I can go back and teach these things. I can go back and sit down and study them, and I'll enjoy it as much, I think, as I did the first time I've ever done it. I love doing it. You know, it's one thing is, you know, Jesus Christ is a healer, and I can't imagine him in any other thing, you know. You know, if you look at the fact that if God, through Jesus Christ, did what he did to save you, I mean, if thinking about salvation, the new birth is such a great thing, such a hugely marvelous thing that God did. There's nothing really that compares to it. Absolute miracle, the fact that you and I were born again, our old spirit nature is dead, and we got a new spirit. I mean, that's phenomenal. That's an absolute incredible miracle. The Bible teaches concerning salvation, talking in the Old Testament, talks about the power of God to from the standpoint of salvation and creation. It says he put the stars out there with his fingers. In other words, he just sort of flicked those out there. That wasn't much power at all in God, but he said his salvation of man was by his arm. God used his most power that he ever used in redeeming man. And you know, the heal you, that's not even a flick of the finger. So somebody's here trying God would save you, but he ain't going to heal you. He's an idiot. Why would he give you salvation? You know, it's like handing the guy $1 million, but you wouldn't give him a dollar. You know, it's like, that's crazy. And when I look at Jesus, Jesus is a healer. Jesus was interested in humanity and the ills and the mess that humanity was in. And he's interested in that, and he always is. And we see with these people that we look at, especially in his ministry, to the Jews were his covenant people, and his desire and love to minister to people. And I always think about that. If he went and did, look how the Jews were. You know, we've read and studied some of this stuff. There's a bunch of crazy people, stuff going on. Did he? You know, I don't want to heal them. Ah, those ugly people. he came. He's going to show them, God. You know, God's going to act in love. I mean, you know, I did some dumb things, and God blessed me anyhow. Now I don't expect to just keep doing dumb things and God blessing me, but God will prove to you he wants to be good to you. And hallelujah. I mean, I was born and raised in a church as a kid, and I always thought God was a guy, you know, with the big hammer and or whatever. See, he always had something. He gonna slam you with something. That's what. You know, I don't know what the devil did. I couldn't figure out if the devil was bad or not. It seemed to me that God was the problem. But I found out that God is good. So we've been looking at these areas. Last week, we ended up looking over dealing with a demon-possessed guy. And we looked at that of dealing with the demon-possessed. Tonight, we're going to go over a specific area in healing. And I want us to go to Matthew, the 9th chapter. We're going to, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all recorded this same incident. And each one of them, we get to see a little bit more of a picture. When Matthew, again, we have Matthew, most of his things in dealing with healing, Matthew didn't write in a lot of detail about healing. He wrote in more detail of other things that Jesus preached, but the actual healings he didn't say as much about, where Mark and Luke specifically talked into more detail about the specifics of individuals who got healed. Now in Mark the 9th chapter, starting in verse 1, we want to look, it starts off and it says, so he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city that had been Capernaum. He said, then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. He said, and at once some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed and walk, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. Now I want to go over to Mark the 2nd chapter. That was in Matthew 9. We're going to Mark the 2nd chapter. And Mark talked about this incident. We want to read there. Then we'll go into do some things about this. Some things are wonderful things we can see in here. Again, in Mark the 2nd chapter, verse 1 says, And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed in which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. It says, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is it easier to do, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up his bed, went into the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Now, if we go over to Luke, we're going to go over and read Luke. Luke's account, Luke adds a little bit more. Luke says a few things. Luke, the fifth chapter, starting at verse 1. Luke, the fifth chapter, starting at verse 1. It says, "Now it happened at a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." I want you to get that. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. We're going to find out that them didn't get healed. We don't have any record that any of them got healed, but the power of the Lord was present. It says, "Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and laid before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in, because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop, and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, 'Man, your sins are forgiven you.' And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, 'Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone?' But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin.' He said to the one who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house.' Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been laying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, 'We have never seen things, we have seen strange things today.'" So we look at these three, and we put them together. So we find Jesus was in Capernaum, come back to Capernaum. He had been across the lake on the other side, the Sea of Galilee, and came back over by boat. He came to Capernaum, and that's where he lived. Jesus, in fact, the scriptures tell us he had a house there. He was in, and here it says he was in the house. It was his house. It was his city. We found that it says it was his city. That's where he lived. That's where Jesus worked out of. That's why you find out so many things, if you read the Gospels, why so much stuff took place in Capernaum. A whole lot of stuff took place in Capernaum. A lot of ministry there. So, took place at Capernaum. But he was there, and he was in the house. So we know this. There was a multitude of people there. The house was filled up. We find out that there was scribes and Pharisees, and these ones who came out from all these different areas who had come there to listen to him teach. They wanted to hear what he had to say. They're in the house. The house is filled up. We know that it tells us that there's people, the multitude, people are outside the house. So we had here Luke, and Luke said about the fact that he said the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. But you need to understand this. The power of the Lord is to heal is always present. It is always present all the time. See, when we talk, if you ever think about this, you know, I sometimes wonder how, and I guess it's just because ways we've been taught as Christians, but how can God be present everywhere? People say, "Well, is God present everywhere?" Oh, yeah. Well, you say, is the power of the Lord present to heal? Well, that's another thing. Now look, if God is how could God be present and his power not present? I want to understand. Let me know that one. How does you know, you guys showed up here tonight, you know, are you here? Are all of you here? I mean, did you leave a leg or two someplace else? Or, you know, it's when God is there, God's power. God is everywhere. It's one of the things that we need to know this. There are things that are done that cause us really to come into contact with God. And what causes it is faith. What we have is one individual has used faith, and now we're going to see that the healing power of God manifests. It's the same way all the time. If you don't have to have any, you know, like people think, well, I have to get to a healing meeting or I have to do this. The power of God's always present to heal. It's the whole thing of what do I do to come into contact with it. Now, you could come in contact with it through an individual who has an anointing, but that's not the only way to do it. That's not the only way that you have to do that. The Bible tells us whatever we believe, if we believe, receive, and we pray, we'll have it. So in other words, we can come in contact. You know, I had taught one time before, you know, about God being hidden. And God is hidden for people. God's everywhere, but God's hidden from most people. And the reason he's hidden from most people is because it requires faith to come in contact with God. That's the only way that you can do it. So it's the same way with Jesus. If we would want to see, or we would, if you or I were there at this same period of time, if we wanted to see the manifestation of the power of God, we would have to respond by faith to Jesus' teaching. See, these people would come and sit and listen to his teaching, but they wouldn't follow up with faith. They weren't. They came to question. Their whole thing was, you know, it's just like they're quick. Now we find this going on here. The scribes and the Pharisees are all sitting there and they're listening. And he says to this guy, he says, "Your sins are forgiven." And immediately their thought is, "This is blasphemy." You know, it didn't say the crowd out there. They were thinking blasphemy. They're probably glad somebody got their sins forgiven. But you know, the intellects, they're going to sit there, and that's where a lot of people do. They go to sit down and sort of question what they go. They're going for the whole wrong attitude. A lot of people do that. They go and they're waiting really. So we have this thing in our culture today. It's sort of waiting for the performance. Let's see what the person's going to do. And what happens is people don't respond by faith. So nothing, it doesn't matter. Now just think about this. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power and he was sent out there to do good, to heal all that were oppressed of the devil. Now think of this. He only got one guy delivered out of all that were oppressed of the devil, and the whole bunch of them were oppressed with the devil. But only one guy, because we have four guys who are believing God, who carrying a man who needs healed, and he's believing God, and let's get there in the middle. There are four guys believing, and they're not intellects for sure. These guys, they're believing, man. These guys, we get this guy to Jesus, he gets healed. That's it. We get him to Jesus, he gets healed. And so that's what they're doing. They're heading there. All the rest of them are saying nobody's responding by faith. They're all there question going around thinking about, let's see, what in the world he was going to do. You know, maybe see, let's see if he'll heal, what he was going to do in here. Let's listen to his teaching. Yeah, that there is pretty nice stuff, but well, you know. People are sitting around and questioning all the time. They don't know anything about, lots of times, about responding by faith. You'll never get any more out of anything than you put your faith toward to get. That's the way it works. Learned that a long time ago. See, I found out a long time ago is about receiving revelation from God. That, you know, some people learn much faster than others, and there's reason, because some people use their faith and the others don't. I get more revelation by the more I use my faith. See, you know, like some people, they sit to listen just to hear. I believe before I go, I'm going to get something. God's going to talk to me. God's going to say something. You know, if nobody else gets a thing, it don't matter. It'll get it all. And I'll get what you were supposed to have. Well, if I believe God, I can. Because I can get, according to Jesus, what even was for the other guy. I can get it. I can have it. If they won't take it, I'll take it. You know, I like ice cream. You don't eat yours? I might eat yours too. Watch out. But you know, you got to, and this is this, it's by using your faith. You come to receive. See, in other words, this walk of faith is coming, and these guys are going to Jesus. They're coming by faith. They're whole different. The rest of the crowd is coming to see what's going on, just to hear. That's good to hear. They're not. They're coming by faith. These guys are coming. We're coming here, and we are going to get something, and we don't care who we got to step on to get to it. We're going to get at it. You know, you got to learn to do that as a Christian. You got to quit waiting around on other people and worrying about what they think and whatever else they do. You got to learn to go after it. You just got to learn to step over it and go after it. You know, it's like, hey, you know, what do you think? Somebody tear the roof off of your house because they want delivered. You know, we just have this nice little clean Christianity in America, and it ain't worth spit. It's this nice little clean thing that's coming. No, when people come, these guys came, they wanted something. The power of God is present to heal. Now just think it. Here's five guys that know it, and the rest of the multitude, it's called a multitude, they don't know it. They know that when they come, and they know what they're going to do, and they know this guy's going to get healed. If they didn't know that, Jesus could have never said, I saw your faith. There would have been no faith to see. If they come wondering if he could, there's no faith in wondering. These guys knew for sure, this guy's getting healed. No matter what we have to do to get around this crowd, we ain't carrying this boy home. This is it. I wouldn't surprise Jesus probably wanted to get up and do a little jig. But see, you come to this thing, and this is one of the most wonderful things I see. I really like this. This is one of my favorites out of the scriptures of healing, because these guys here, I like their attitude, man. You know, we can't get near the door to get in. Let's go on the roof of the house. We ain't going home like we came. We're in here for an encounter with God, and I'm going to have one. And that's the biggie. And get that within yourself. I want an encounter with God, and I will have one. Get yourself into I will. Quit. You know, too many times I read books about people about encountering God and things. It's all like, you know, they're trying to get to God. They're trying to get there. No, faith says, I'm getting a hold of him. I'm going to do this. You know, the last time I was down at Randall Greer's meeting in March, I was down at Gatlinburg, and he said by the Holy Spirit concerning me, I was sitting there in a meeting, and he was ministering to the people, and he stopped, and he said, you come up here. He said, you have been hungry in these meetings, and he said, you ain't going to leave till you get something. He's exactly right. I ain't leaving. I came for something, and I'm not leaving till I get it. You know, if I go and I use my faith and set for it, and God don't do it, I'll tell you what, I ain't going to work for a guy who tells me to do something and I do it and he don't do his end. You know, I did. I remember one time the Lord spoke to me back. This goes back to 1983. In 1983, I had been a Christian. In fact, it was probably about somewhere around April or May, somewhere around that time, that the Lord spoke to me that I was supposed to go to Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting. I was supposed to go out to Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting and go to Tulsa. Well, I didn't have the money to go out or anything like that at that time to go. And I said, the Lord, I said, I'll go do anything you want me to do. I said, you provide the way to do it. Go ahead. Because it's one thing I ain't going to turn around and worry. At least this is what people do. God wants me to do this. Then they're going around trying to get everybody or find a way to get money to go there. I learned a long time ago, I don't do that. He tells me to go. If I have to spend all of my time making this thing work, then he ain't God. And he ain't going to take the credit for getting the money together if I had to do it. I'm not going to say God gave it to me. Because if I had to work like crazy to get it, then he didn't do it. See, you got to get over it. You know, if he told me to do something concerning the money, I'd do it. But where people get over in this thing of this idea, trying to, you know, they try to make God's will happen. And I said, well, that's good. I said, I'll go. So he began telling me about why he wanted me to go. And he talked to me. He said, you're going to go out there and you're going to get an anointing. You're going to get an anointing and those meetings are going to come on you. Now, God could have put that anointing on me there, but he said he wanted me to go out there. See, why does God do that? I ain't got a clue. I learned a long time ago. So one of the things that God has us do, many things, one of the big things he wanted me to do is to trust him for the money and everything to go to the meeting. And you know what? I went to the meeting and I never spent a dime of my own money. Had a guy buy my airplane ticket. Had a guy pay for the rental car, the rooms, paid for all the food and everything. And I never had to spend a dime unless I wanted to spend it on myself. I saw, you know, God did good. He did real good. So, but we went out to those meetings. I'll never forget. We sat through that whole week of meetings, and last night, Saturday, his last day, Saturday. It's Saturday afternoon. And Saturday afternoon, meaning Brother Hagin's ministering, and he's up front, he's ministering to these ministers. He's calling ministers up to meet him. Well, I ain't no minister, you know, I'm just a born again guy sitting, nobody knows, sitting in the crowd. And I mean, you know, there's, you know, 10,000 people there, and I'm, you know, just one guy in the crowd. And had a pretty good seat. We were, you know, maybe about 20 rows from down from the front area and that stuff where we got in. We got to sit, this guy and I. So we're sitting down there in this row, and he's up there ministering to these people. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I obeyed you. I said, I came out here, you told me to. I said, you told me to come out here, and I was going to get an anointing. Now I said, Brother Hagin's laying hands on these ministers out there. And I said, he was talking about laying his hands on them for anointings. And he's up there laying his hands on them. Well, Brother Hagin, while I'm sitting there talking to the Lord, Brother Hagin gets over talking in tongues, and he gets over where he can't talk in English. He tries to talk in English. He starts to talk to the crowd, and all that comes out is tongues. And so he would talk and say something, and you could see he was just frustrated because in his, you know, and I've had this happen to me. Where in your mind, you're thinking English, but you're talking tongues. I got over the Spirit already and talking in tongues. I couldn't talk English. I was thinking English, but I couldn't talk in, it would come out in tongues. I think, oh man, you know, get this thing back over here. But anyhow, so he was over there doing it. Well, Fred Price stood up and, you know, was going to talk for Brother Hagin. Because I said this to the Lord, Lord, I obeyed you. You told me I couldn't come out here and get anointing. I said, tonight's the last meeting. I said, if I leave here and I get on this plane and I said, I don't have that anointing. I said, don't you ever ask me to come back, go somewhere again. Because I said, I won't do it. Because I said, you'd be dishonest. So I've heard people tell God told them to go here or there, do this or that. And then, you know, God didn't do it. They make an excuse. You know, admit it. You either miss God or God's a liar. Let's get with the program. And I just told him, I said, God, I would see, I don't know how people talk to God, but you know, God has no right to demand anything of Ed that he won't do. If he don't hold up his end, he has no right to demand anything of me. See, most people don't know God. See, God is not like people that preached him. God is honorable. And if he told you something, he's going to do it. And if he don't, he'd be a liar and he's no different than the devil. And my God is a lot different than the devil. And I just said to him, I said, I won't come back. I said, if I don't get that anointing. And I was sitting there talking to, this is me talking to myself. I'm not talking real loud to people or anything like that. I'm just talking to God. You know, we're sitting in a crowd and all these people are talking and doing stuff. Fred Price stands up and says, Brother Hagin's what he's trying to say, if you want this anointing that's on him, you just take it right now. You don't have to come up here and get it. And I said, I'd take it, and that anointing fell on me. Just sitting right there, that anointing, and I knew it. Man, that anointing dropped on me, and I knew I had it. I didn't know exactly what it was at first, but it was a teaching anointing. I had never before that stuff with teaching. I had done some things of, you know, explaining stuff to people, but boy, the teaching anointing comes on you, it's a whole different thing. I mean, it revolutionized everything. Things start like when I see people sit down and try to struggle to put a message together, I don't get it. Stuff comes to me. And I know it ain't because Ed's bright. I'd have been doing it before if it was because of bright. It comes by that anointing. That anointing brings things to you. Gives stuff comes to me from a standpoint of teaching, but it's because of that anointing. And then, so that anointing came on me. But I remember leaving there and I was on the airplane flying. It was over St. Louis. I'll never forget it. Looking out over St. Louis. Looking down over St. Louis. We were flying over it, going past over it. You could see the arch and stuff down below, crossing over the Mississippi River. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and he said, I anointed you. And he said, don't you ever say that you're not anointed. Don't you ever, ever say. He said, you're anointed and don't you let anything else come out of your voice. From that time on. So I'm anointed. And what he was trying to do is get me to learn to operate over there. You see, most people, they're trying to get anointed. I'm not trying to get, I never try to get anointed. I'm anointed. And when that anointing comes and getting that anointing. But we have, you know, we're looking at this here because Jesus Christ was anointed. These guys are after something. These guys are after something to happen. He's anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. He's going to heal some. He's there. The presence of the presence and power of God's there to heal, is there to deliver. These guys are going after it. Now, I'm sure this guy didn't mind that Jesus said to him, you know, your sins are forgiven you. Well, you know, he's there to be healed. It's good to get your sins forgiven. But, you know, that thing threw, and here's one of the things, is because of the way the church is taught today, that most of the church world, if I stood up before you today and said to you, your sins are forgiven you, there's loads of churches I'd go to, they'd say, who does he think he is? It's because they don't know nothing about it. We equate forgiveness of sin as being born again, and it's not. You can get your sins forgiven and go to hell. Everybody has. Everybody that's in hell, their sins have been forgiven them. Do you know that? Jesus forgave their sin. What their problem is, they never received forgiveness of sin. They never received it. See, when you receive, Jesus told his disciples, he told them that before he left, he said, after he says he breathed the Holy Spirit on it, said, whoever sins you forgive, they'll be remitted. Well, that wasn't for the disciples. John wrote to believers and he said, if you see your brother commit a sin unto death and you ask him, God to forgive him, God will forgive it. Do you need to understand, we're the voice of God in the earth. Believers are the voice of God in the earth. Do you think that God was telling Peter that he ought to forgive a guy that comes along and asks him to forgive him, and Peter says, yeah, I forgive you, and God won't forgive him? If I forgive somebody, God forgives them. The church world is so messed up, we don't know who and who we are. We don't understand. We never consider ourselves as being the body of Christ. It's only words on a, and you know, that's why I was saying before we got started about meditating things till they come real to you. But when you read it says we're the body of Christ, it becomes real to you that you're the body of Christ. You're the voice of Christ in the earth. You're the one that lays hands on the sick. You're the one that uses the name of Jesus to cast out devils. Jesus never cast out a devil till you use your voice to do it. He never does and never will. He'll never heal a sick person till you do it. And getting over there and learning to operate it. Jesus came along. What we're seeing today, see, the church is really operating in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus was over there. He was perfect, had no sin. Jesus, and we're operating the same thing. He said the Son of Man has the power to forgive sin. Well, are you like the Son of Man today? You have the power to forgive sin. Forgiving sin of a person don't mean they go to heaven. But you can forgive anybody's sin. But see, we tithe of it. This is what most people think. Well, what we do is we ask Jesus to come in our heart. What does he do? He forgives us of our sin. No, you get born again is what you do. But your sin forgiven actually did take place beforehand. You just received it. You receive that when you get born again, but that ain't born again. Any sinner could come out here tonight and walk out, could come right here and visit us here tonight and say, you know, I did such and such today, God forgive me. Would God forgive him if he said it? He said, God, I just robbed a bank. God, would you forgive me? Would God forgive him for doing it? Would he? Would he be born again because he said that? No. He wouldn't be born again because he said that. Getting your sins forgiven don't make you born again. And see, we have it equated because we've had that taught so much that forgiveness is sin. That's why are you going to heaven? I got my sins forgiven. No, if you ain't born again, you ain't getting there. You ain't going to be there. And see, get this out of you, what's in you, because see, you're going to learn to see yourself in the light of Jesus Christ. We're the body of Christ in the earth. No, just think about it. He says, if you see your brother commit a sin, it ain't unto death. He says, you can ask God to forgive him, and God will forgive him. I've heard people fighting, oh man, and they'll do the same thing they did to Jesus. Well, that's blasphemy. What's blasphemy is what they believe. They believe they're still the old dead, you know, in sin person that they were before. You know, they just got their sins forgiven. But they don't realize who and what they are. What good power God has put in the church and what the church is. You know, these guys that came here, that came and had those, you know, four guys carrying a stretcher, they must have had a revelation that surely no, the rest of them didn't have. They saw Jesus in a different light than the rest of them saw and could see. And I want you to do that. I want you to start. When you read the things about Jesus, can you identify with his ministry? Can you identify? You have to learn to identify with him. You have to learn to identify that God would respond to you just as fast as He'd respond to Jesus. Jesus said, the Father loves you just like He loves me. You know, go read the prayer in John 17 chapter. God loves us just like He loves Jesus. People say, that's really neat. God loves me like Jesus. But people don't believe it. If it isn't real to you, and you can tell, if it isn't real to you that you would act like Jesus did and believe God would do for you what He did for Jesus, then you ain't got the revelation of it yet. See, God would respond to us. That's why Jesus said, when I go, you can use my name and cast out devils. You can speak in new tongues. You can lay hands on sick. They're going to recover. He said you can do those things. He said that's why you can ask the Father anything in my name. He'll give it to you. The church has always added all kinds of things onto that. They've all tried to twist all that stuff around. It's because the church can't identify themselves with Jesus. These guys saw something and they saw that they were supposed to have it. We're supposed to have this healing. You taking the boldest go up and tear a roof off? You know? Going up there tearing the towels off a roof? They surely had a revelation more than anybody else had in the crowd. These guys had a revelation. They believed what Jesus had belonged to them. Now, they weren't in the position we are. We're in a place today. We're supposed to be in Jesus' seat. But the church can't even get on the roof. Well, I don't know if God really wants me to have that or not. Maybe I'm not supposed to have it that good. Maybe I'm not, you know, I don't know. Maybe, dude, well, that thing costs a lot of money. Maybe God, you know, God, that real good car out there that I really would like to have and need, that's just a little bit far out there from me. God, I don't think, you know, that's too much. You know, if I don't consume it on my own lust, it ain't what it's about. I can have anything I ask in Jesus' name. But it's like, what do you want? What do you want? And see, these guys come along. They saw the thing that Jesus had. They believed it was for them. Man, our friend is going to be walking. This guy's going to walk, or Jesus is going to look bad. They sure weren't acting like they were going to look bad, did they? No, they're after it. Jesus happened. He said He saw their faith. This is one thing. Faith will be seen and can be seen. Now, faith can be heard, but faith, it's good to hear faith speak, but it's good to see faith. In other words, the actions that correspond to the words that are spoken. These guys, we know this. We don't know, I'm sure they must have said words before they, you know, head down there and did it. But we see what they believe by what they did. Their words would have been dead had they had not done the action. They could have believed Jesus could heal all He wants. But if they didn't get, they believed they needed to get to Jesus, and they didn't get to Him, they wouldn't have got it. These guys are carrying out their words. They're carrying out their words. That's what they're seeing. That's what Jesus is seeing. Their words are in action. Coming out there, crawling up on that roof, tearing that thing off, dropping that guy down there, doing that. And so they carried out, do that. Jesus says to the guy, your sins are forgiven you. And the first thing they do is they go into this, oh my words, who's this guy to say this thing? So, you know, so it starts off this whole thing about forgiven sins. And Jesus asks him, you know, Jesus didn't expect the scribes and Pharisees to be as stupid as they were and not understand about forgiveness of sin. They didn't understand it. Because look, and he said, look at the way Jesus talked to them. Why are you guys doing this going on? They weren't supposed to be thinking that way. These guys are supposed to be the smart guys in religion, and they don't know nothing. And we have it today as they've done the same thing. When you twist the scriptures around and make it into something other than it is, things really get messed up. And that's what messes so many things up and why so many people are so messed up. Who don't understand that the gospel's not understood. You know, it's why somebody comes along, and I've watched many times somebody, a minister flowing in the Spirit. And, you know, when he's flowing in the Spirit, because the crowd is so ignorant of God and so stupid. And I'm not talking about sinners. You know, God will overlook sinners not understanding. That's why they're sinners. They don't understand. But the church will stop the power of God from moving because their religious beliefs. Well, who does he think he is saying that? Or who does he think? Yeah, well, he's a child of God, and the rest of them are a bunch of idiots sitting out there claiming to be. And because they don't know the power of God, they don't know God. You got to, if people would learn to listen in their hearts, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. I learned as a young Christian to be able to go sit down in a meeting. And not really, and you'd have people ministering things that are over my head, saying things that are over my head. You know, I'm new at this, you know, learning it. But I learned enough to listen into my heart to know the spirit of what they're doing, whether they're heading in the right direction. And I learned to know when people weren't heading in the right direction. Most amazing thing was to me is when I first came into the kingdom, I was just astounded that how many Christians didn't know if it was God or it wasn't God. And they've been Christians for 20 years, and they had no clue. But it's because they were always taught wrong. And they sit under taught wrong, and you try to go to get them to listen to somebody else, and no, they won't. No, this is my church, and this is where God has me. Because, you know, God wanted me in a place where I'm going to stay stupid. He wanted to keep me here because he wants me to be an ignorant idiot. That's what he wants. But basically, that's what they were saying. Now, you know, they didn't think of it that way. They said, God wants me here. God's not going to put you at some place where you ain't going to learn. That's never God's intent. Never. See, one of the things that God put me in a church when I first started off, he put me in a church and they were... I couldn't believe when he sent me there. I wanted to go to a church because I figured, you know, I was a young Christian. I needed to learn. So I'm looking at the place I want to go because there's things I want to learn. God tells me, go help this minister start this church. And I went there and I just couldn't believe these people didn't know. I thought I didn't know anything. Man, I felt like a rocket scientist. I mean, I was just amazed. And most of all these people, everybody's been born again for years. They're starting this church. Some of them 30 years more. And I come over around there. You know, I'm born again, you know, a year and a half, so. And I'm just totally amazed. They know nothing hardly about the Spirit. And these people are tongue talkers. But they really don't know nothing. They're filled with a lot of religious ideas and religious things. And a lot of do's and don'ts and things like that. And how you do stuff. But not really knowing anything about the Spirit of God. Now, I believe this one thing. They were hungry for God. They wanted God. But really, they didn't know how to go after Him. But God put me in the middle of that. But you see, there's one thing about it. It's like myself. I was always very studious concerning the Word. They didn't feed me at that church. I was a worker in that church. If I wouldn't have fed myself, I'd have died. If I wouldn't have taken it to go listen to others, and man, I'd go home after church services and listen to a real message. Go put a tape in and listen to Kenneth Hagin or something. But it wasn't. No, they didn't know. They were ignorant. They were good people. But they didn't know. They just didn't have a clue about things. You know, if a person's sitting in a place dying, you know, God didn't put you there to die. He didn't put... God's going to want you to... And you're going to have to show some initiative in yourself to want to go after something. There's one thing is I've learned this over the years. If you're in amongst people and you really are hungry and they're not for the same things, you won't have to probably make much of a decision to leave. They'll probably help you. Because when you really get to know God, you can't keep your mouth shut after a while. You go, hold that. What are you guys saying about God? Oh, and so I did learn a good lesson, though. They had a guy come in to minister one time at that church who really, he knew the Holy Ghost. He was good. It was really helpful to me because I was sitting in that church and, you know, I knew God sent me there, but boy, you just sort of want to get up and leave sometimes. Say, God, I'm going to disobey you. I can't stand it no more. You know, so, but God had me there for a good purpose. I learned a lot of good things. One thing I learned a lot about patience, and I learned how to serve, even though, you know, you weren't in charge, couldn't make decisions, but I learned how to serve and just, you know, do what you can do to help. And that's what I did. But this guy prophesied. He called me out one night. He didn't know me from anybody, but he called me out one night, and he one of the things he made a statement to me about places I would go to in the earth and stuff that I did do. I've done some things already, but he made this statement about this. He said, I see you. He said, you're a teacher. And he said, I see you sit there, and he said, you have a loaf of bread, and he said, you hand it out. And he said, you hand it out to people, and I see it. And he said, oh, he said, there's some say, oh, it's too hard. Some say it's too much, too many seeds in it. Some say it's too dry. He said, some like it, need it. He said, some of them just throw it back to you. He said, don't let it ever bother you if they want it or not. He said, if they throw it back to you, just keep giving it to the people that like it. Boy, I tell you, that set me free and helped me. When I found out, I'm not a preacher to the people who don't want it. You know, I've learned that over the years. Some people think, oh, you just ought to do more to help this individual, that individual. They keep throwing the word back at you. They won't take it. I learned this. I don't sit there and keep, you don't keep throwing the word at them. It's the dumbest thing in the world you could do. I learned to give it to the guy who likes to eat it. That's who you stick the time. The time the person that wants it, feed them. Because the guy don't want, you can't force feed nobody nothing. You know, people don't want to change. That's, you can't make people change. Well, these guys here in this ministry, these guys came along down here. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. The wonderful thing that I like is to looking at this is because the proof of the healing ministry, of the purpose of healing, is Jesus said here, he says, I'm looking at Luke in the 5th chapter yet. It says, when he saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you, in verse 20. He said, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this speaking blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone? It says, when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them and said, why are you reasoning in your hearts? What is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? He says, which is the easiest to say? Which is the easiest to do? Then he says this, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Jesus said, healing is, God healing people is the proof that he forgives sin. That's what he just said. He said, I'm going to prove to you that I have the power to forgive sin. Rise up and walk. That's the proof. Do you know what? Most people run around today talking about the forgiveness of sin to God. That's why most Christians don't live a very good Christian life, is because they have never seen the power of God to know the word's true. The healing power of God. Jesus said, look, the proof that I can forgive sin. You're healed, buddy. The guy got up and walked. He said, that's the proof. He said, I'm going to prove it to you that I have the power to forgive. And he healed him. That's why healing is all through the scriptures, and it always has been in the church. The church world who has operated in the areas of healing, healing has always been the dinner bell to lead people to Christ. Healing is the dinner bell to lead people to Christ. It's the proof of the love and forgiveness of God. That's what it's for. God wants to move healing to the forefront. He always does. Always. People who shut out the will of God. They shut out people from accepting forgiveness of sin. You want to, that's why when you go to these big evangelistic meetings and that stuff, these huge things, you go overseas, like Christopher Alam and that stuff, like with his meetings and that stuff, you know, you get hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people show up. Huge mass healings. And when they have their call for people to accept Christ, I mean, it's like, man, by the droves. Why? When that dinner bell done rang and demon-possessed people are being set free, people are lame or walking, the blind are seeing. It's like, God is real. And He'll forgive sin. Let's go get it taken care of. The church world today said, we don't need this stuff. No, that was for the apostles. You know, we don't need these things. We need them. See, the church has twisted and turned everything around. And this is the thing that I used to, I was teaching the life of Christ. One of the questions I always put and asked the students and had them, you know, do this thing. I always ask them to read these three, you know, things here with Jesus and the healing of the paralyzed guy. And then at the end of the reading, I would ask them a number of questions about things that went on, and they turn these papers in. But one of the questions I'd always put in there was, what is it easier to have your sins forgiven or be healed? And almost every student every time would say, it's easier to get your sins forgiven. Almost every time. And I would always come back to class, and I always tell them, you go read this stuff again. You guys ain't reading. You don't even know what words say. You just got your little religious ideas that you think. Jesus said, which is easier? What's easier to do? This is why healing in the church is so hard. Because everybody's been brainwashed. The forgiveness of sin, the forgiveness of sin, the forgiveness of sin, the forgiveness of sin, forgiveness of sin. And people can believe, I get your sins forgiven. Healing, that's another thing. Oh, it's so hard to get healed. You don't ever know what God's going to do. You never know. We have been brainwashed, filled with religious ideas on the subject. And we got to get over. To me, God will heal me as quick as He'll forgive me. And He'll heal me to prove that He'll forgive me. I cannot conceive in my mind at all that God wouldn't hear me. I can't even comprehend that. I mean, I don't even know what a Christian, when Christians talk about healing and like a struggle, I don't know what they're talking about. I can't conceive in my mind that God wouldn't heal me. If there's a problem with healing, it can never be God. Something's got to be wrong with it. It can never be God. It's an impossibility for it to ever be God. Jesus, you know, if Jesus was this good when he was walking as a man, what do you think he'd like when he God now? Woo! My words! Hallelujah! And we got to get over in that area and get into our thinking. Leave the religious teaching. Now, I realize people weren't trying to be mean or trying to be bad in teachings, but folks, nonetheless, it's bad. It leads people to believe what's wrong, what the Bible doesn't say. And this is why, you know, Brother Hagin used to always use the phrases of reading the Bible with your religious colored glasses on. You know, take them off. You know, and I had to learn to do that. I was drilled in religion. And even though I rejected what I was taught, when I came to Christ, you know, you have a lot of this thinking about things that you people have said and taught over time. And I found out, you know, you go among people who haven't even been in church, they still have religious thinking. And they still have ideas because people are saying nutty stuff about God. I mean, the world out here preaches all the time. Listen to the news media. Bad things happen out here. Acts of God. Hear them all the time with storms and things and stuff. And they say it. And they still say it. People sit around. Yeah, they're acts of God. Yeah. You know, that's what Jesus was reaching people with hailstorms. That's how he did it. Yeah, Jesus come down. And you know what? He just tore up a lot of houses and stuff. And the people said, woo, we want God. We want God. But you know, this is the whole thing. This is, and you need to understand, this is the majority of the message. Most churches preach that. Most do. But we need to break free, and we need to people. You know, I'm strong in the areas. I don't mind telling believers when people are talking like that, saying, I don't believe that stupid stuff at all. Say, you ain't going to find that in the Bible if you ever read it. You just keep passing on information. Everybody else passes on it. Everybody does. And I refuse. I will not talk stupid and be dumb about these things. I will not do it. Because to me, it's blaspheming Jesus himself. It's a criticism whether people realize it. You may do it ignorantly, but you can't criticize truth and speak against truth and ever arrive at any place good. It won't go there. Even if we're ignorant, you know, we could be ignorant and, you know, but doing it, not trying to cause harm, but it will harm us. Believing wrong things will harm us. And it's getting that in within yourself that, yeah, this stuff is wrong. When I learned this, as soon as I'd find out where I was thinking wrong and I was believing wrong, I didn't have to take 10 minutes to go out and ask 50 people, what do you think on this or that? When I knew what the truth was, man, we ain't going to believe it or talk it any other way, no matter what everybody else is doing. And over the years, I got a lot of criticism for that because people like to hang on to what they had. They love to. People hate to change. People generally don't like that. They're comfortable, even if it's wrong, they're comfortable with it. A lot of people are so insecure because if I believe this way, what are my friends going? What are they going to think? And people don't like not to be liked. And I'm going to just tell you this. When you find out the truth, there's people that going to like you. They're going to like you. They're going to want you to come because they're understanding. They're insecure. Their security is to keep you with them where they're going. Because that makes them feel significant. Just like we want to feel significant, so we don't want to change. And all it is, people don't realize. The whole bottom line is called fear. Then that fear keeps your faith from working. That fear stops God from being able to move. That fear. Because, gee, if I get over and operate in this, what are people going to think? And that fear will keep you away from it. The fear of losing friends or the fear of doing this. And it comes down to a thing. You have to come down to where it doesn't matter. I like these guys. You know, they went up and tore somebody's roof up. Let's go get the roof off the house. We're having a good time here. This guy's getting healed. We all walking home together. We ain't carrying this boy no more, you know. You know, some people, all they want to do all their life is so go help somebody that's crippled. No, man, let's get him walking. I don't want to have to go to help him, you know, carrying him around anymore. Let's get to that point. If people had as much initiative into that as they do, but most people, they feel good because that person needs me now. If they get healed, they won't need me. What am I going to do? what am I going to do? I need to be needed. There's a lot of reasons why people do stuff, folks. And a lot of them ain't good. There's a lot of people do things they say are good, but it's not good. It's the motives that the people are doing them in. You know, today, my God, you took a guy on a roof and tore the roof off. Whether he got healed or not, they'd probably throw you in jail because you didn't. OSHA said you ought to have had a ladder with guys holding it. And this. They'd probably throw you in jail. And you know what? Most Christians wouldn't do it because it wouldn't meet the standard of what everybody else wants, and they won't do it. I'm not going to do it. I'd rather carry him around than get in trouble. See, we got to break free. That's why, as I see these guys, I like them. You know, they just go up on the roof. Hey, we're doing this. We're walking this guy home. It's going to be us five and Jesus. We're all going to be doing the same thing. But the sad part of the whole thing at all, the rest of the people, you know what they ended up doing? See, people think it matters. It says they glorified God. But they say, oh, strange things happened here today. Do you think those guys thought something strange happened? No. See, their faith did exactly what it was. This is one thing I know. The crowd was in full unbelief. They had no idea of what took place there. They didn't grasp it at all. Something strange is happening here. Whoa. Wow, did you see that? Don't matter. It could have been neat to see, but if you didn't understand it, you can't duplicate it. It's only good if you can duplicate it. It's of no value if you can't duplicate it. See, what you see going on, if you don't know how and why it happened, you can't duplicate it. You can't make it happen. The only people that can make it happen are the ones that know how to do it. You need to understand that. And this is where people are. People go to meetings and they see things and God moves. And people go to Benny Hinn meeting and go, wow, ain't that something? This happened, that something. Can you make it happen? No, we can't make it happen. But wow, isn't that something? What caused it to happen? Oh, I don't know. God is strange. He works in mysterious ways. And that's what, see, they don't know. You want to learn how it happens. So John G. Lake did. He said, I'm not interested God can heal. I want to know how he does it. John G. Lake learned one thing. If he knows how God does it, he can get it to happen a lot because he knows how it happens. And that's what I always wanted. I remember when I first started listening to Kenneth Hagin, he'd tell the stories how God worked through him. And I used to say, God, I want to know what that man knows so I can walk in what he walks in. I want to know that. I want to understand that. I want to know it. I'm not interested in all the great stories. If I can never do what's in those stories and I can never have it happen to me, I don't care about the stories. I don't like to sit around and just read fantasy stuff. Most Christians would just read fantasy stuff all the time and they like it. Don't have to ever know how to do it. Isn't that neat? No, I'm a participant. It's like in me. I can't do it. What's the point of going around? Like, you know, me, I just could never sit down and get so tied up in watching football or something like that. It's like, to me, it's like, if we ain't going to ever play the game, just sitting there watching all the time. It don't turn me on that much. Now, a lot of people do. They'll just get involved in watching something. It's like, I'm a participant. I like things I can participate in. If I can't participate in it, it don't really give me a whole lot of pleasure just to sit and watch somebody else do something all the time. It's a shame, but most of the church world loves to watch. They're not participators. They don't learn how things... When I was starting to learn how things work, it's like, man, is this good? Because why? Now it operates in me. It operates through me. I know how to make it happen. I started off, I was like everybody else. God would be nice and do something for me, but you didn't know how it worked, and you wanted it to have happened again, but you didn't know how to make it happen again. Why? Because you just got it from mercy. You didn't get it because of faith. He was just being good to the dummy. Now it's like, hold it. I don't want to stay a dummy. I don't want to be the guy that just, I can only get what mercy gives me. I want to walk by faith. I want to come to the place where, you know, it isn't God just reaching out to do something for me. It's reaching me reaching God and grabbing a hold of God. That's what I want to get to. See, most people are waiting for God touch me, God touch me. I'm sorry. I'm like the lady with the issue of blood. We're going to go get the garment. Let's get in there. We're going to knock people over in the crowd, but we get to God. We're going there and learn to do that. You know, Jesus said about the kingdom, the violent take it by force. There's a violence that you must have in your faith to go after the things of God where you're going to push through when everybody says, don't you dare. And you say, do you dare me? You? You better get out of my way. There's going to be tracks on you, but I'm going after God. You ain't going to stand between me and God. You're going to have tracks on you. I'm going after God. I'm not going to stay in your little religious circle. If you ain't going to be chasing after God, you're going to be standing behind somewhere, but I'm going to be past you. I'm gone. And you got to have that, because the violent take it by force. You're going to have to, the things of God are things that must be going after, because most people have a stop sign in their hand. I'm sorry. They do. Most people have a stop sign in their hand. And they're going to flash it in your face all the time, telling you where you can't go spiritually. Telling you what you, the limits. I'll tell you what, Ed's limited, but his God is not. And I'm only limited by what I'll let people keep me away from God. Because God will have no limits on me. He doesn't. How far? God has said this to me so many times since I've been a Christian. How far do you want to go? How far do you want to go? He didn't never told me. He says, okay, you've gone as far as you want. No, this is, he always said to me, how far do you want to go? Well, and so it comes down to me, how far? Let's go after it. See, that's why I love these guys. These guys were extremists. They were different. And I love that in them. Because they inspire me to believe God is, you know, because there's always going to be somebody putting the roadblock up for you. There's always going to be somebody saying stop. There's always going to say, don't go to that place. I was told so many times when I started off as a Christian that I was spending too much time with God. I was being too radical, going to too, you know, this and that. But I watched the people over the years that told me that. Oh, and I thank God I never listened to them. Because life never ended up pretty for them. Life never ended up good. Because you know what? You can act even in ignorance. I think a lot of them did things in ignorance. But I'm going to tell you that as the years went on, the devil ate their lunch. Because even in their ignorance, they were out trying to stop people from going with God. God can't, I don't care, even in ignorance, God can't keep protecting that in people. That's why many times people, things don't work out well for them in the end, because they've been a roadblock to people in life. Instead of help people get to God, they've been trying to hold people back. You know, stay where I'm at. I'm always, if I see somebody getting ahead of me, let them go. Dear, cheer them on. Dear Lord, you know, be glad somebody got something. Never look at the things of other people. If they're having success and God's doing things through them and stuff like that, don't ever get over in the areas where, you know, well, God, you know, why you do that for them and not for me? I've always learned this. I've seen people already, and I know from the standpoint of the things God's done for them, and it isn't because, you know, they're so bright and maybe even so good about their lives. But if God's blessing somebody, I'm going to get on the God side of cheering for them. I'm not going to get on the side of like some people do, and they get into fussing about that kind of stuff. They start getting selfish. Man, if anybody can get anything from God, praise God, get it. But have your own hunger for it and have your own desire. Just like these four guys did with their friend. Can you imagine a guy letting his friends carry him up on that roof too? And open a hole? I'm going to tell you what, that took some faith. Over the years, I have ministered to a lot to people in wheelchairs. I used to deal with a group in Lebanon County of people with MS and minister to them. And I'm going to tell you, the most fearful people you ever want to meet. Man, I'm going to tell you what, just taking them up over a curb, most of them are nervous. And people talking about faith and stuff and all that kind of stuff, but there was a lot of faithlessness. As most of them, I will guarantee you, 99% of them would have never let anybody ever take them up on a roof and drop them down through a roof to somebody. They'd have never allowed it. Man, I'm going to tell you what, That boy didn't care. He was going to get healed. I guess he didn't care if he'd have dropped. It didn't matter. I hit the floor. Jesus is going to have to raise me from the dead, but we walking out of here. What it might be. See, your fears keep you away from the plan of God. See, lots of people say, you know, I want to be healed, but, you know, as long as it works out the way that I want it, I don't have to make any real move with this thing or anything, as long as I can do it. We live in a very cautious society. And really, it's demonic. And I'll tell you, just go after it. You'll never be sorry you did. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you tonight, Lord God. Father, I just think of, with Brother Hagin, what he said, the number one thing that he wanted to have Rhema students have when and they left Rhema, and he said was a spirit of boldness. And Lord God, that's what I pray. for a spirit of boldness. Lord God, we want to be bold. Hallelujah. Like the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Hallelujah. Lord God, we want a boldness, Lord God. Father, that, Lord God, our faith goes beyond the mark, hallelujah, that reaches out there past. Lord God, Lord, as Brother Hagin told us, he said he expected us to go beyond where he was. Lord God and Father, we want to go beyond. Lord, there's people that walk before us. Father, that made a way. Lord God, Father, we're so fortunate we have their books and their things that, Lord God, that they've taught us and they've trained us in. And Father, we want to go beyond where they're at. Lord God, we want to carry something out far beyond so people, Lord God, behind us, so they can go out beyond where we are. And Father, I just want to thank you. Thank you, Father God. Father, we're just going to walk just like the Apostle Paul, Father God, that he walked, he preached the gospel. Lord, look at the hardships and things that he went. But Lord God, he sure wasn't a complainer. Hallelujah. He just kept after it and kept after it and kept after it. And because he did, Father, we have these marvelous letters that he wrote that gives us revelation of things of heaven. Lord God, that nobody else wrote about. Lord God, Lord, that's what we want to do. Father, we don't want to live in the fear of men and the fear of what they might do or what they might say. Father God, Father, to follow you and to walk with you is the most glorious thing that we could ever do. So I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I truly do believe that we're stepping into probably which will be the most supernatural time that the church has ever been in these last days. Father, I know there's Jesus said, he said, I didn't come bring peace but a sword. Lord, I believe there's some great stirring going to happen. Lord God, Lord, there's going to be many people mad, but there's going to be many people glad. And I thank you, Father God, I'm going to be on the glad side. I'm going to be on the side of the glad, Father God, revealing the glory of God that's in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Father. Father, I thank you that I get to live in this day and this time and in this hour. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad, Lord God, that you're fulfilling your purposes in us here now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we give you the glory and praise because anything that's accomplished, we know it's not because we've been great or we've done wonderful things. Had you not anointed us, had you not put your hand on our life, Father God, we would have accomplished nothing. And we thank you. It's you working in us and your glory. Hallelujah. Carried out through us that makes Jesus Christ glorious in the earth. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.